On a much more serious note, I invite you to hear our text for today. We are listening to a familiar passage, Exodus chapter 14. Beginning in verse 1, we hear about an account in the life of Israel that has some important lessons for us today. Exodus chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. There they are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite of Baal-Zephon. Pharaoh will think, 'The Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert.' And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready, and he took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots in Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, opposite Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you will see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word today. Well, our focus this morning is, unfortunately, an all too common experience. It's not an experience that any of us wants in life, but it has a way of creeping into our lives unexpectedly. We all know the feeling. It's the feeling you get when you're stuck in traffic, you're already late for an appointment, you have a splitting headache, and then your car breaks down. It's the feeling you have when you are rushing to leave the house. The clothes you wanted to wear are in the washing machine. The dishwasher has just flooded your kitchen. The phone is buzzing. Someone is knocking at the door. And when you open it, there are two smiling Jehovah's Witnesses wanting to convert you. Or maybe it's the feeling when you wake up getting ready to preach and you can't see out of one eye. I'm not really sure. We all have these experiences in life. You come up with your own scenarios. You know the feeling that I'm talking about. It is when you are at your wit's end. It is when you feel that you have reached the end of your rope. The scenarios may be humorous in later years, but in the moment, they are difficult. Now, what I described is not really fun, but they're not really life-threatening events. There are some situations, however, that become much more troubling. Getting into trouble at school, experiencing extreme financial difficulties, contemplating divorce, bad news from the doctor, being at home with no one to talk to. Or maybe it's when we can't get away from the news of senseless, heartbreaking tragedy. It's the feeling when we say, I can't take any more of this. I'm at my wit's end. I have reached the end of my rope. It is a feeling of frustration, depression, and despair. It is the feeling of being caught, of being trapped, of feeling that there is no way out. It's the feeling that the problem is too great and the solutions that exist just won't help. It's the feeling of complete and utter hopelessness. In our text for this morning in Exodus, complete and utter hopelessness is exactly what the people of Israel were feeling. God had enabled them to be free from their captivity in Egypt. But when they left, Pharaoh changed his mind, and he and his armies began to chase them, come after them. And now in our text for today, the people of Israel find themselves trapped. In front of them, there is a raging sea, and behind them is Pharaoh's army fast approaching from behind. The situation was frightening. It was hopeless. Certain death was in front of them, and behind them was slavery, imprisonment, and possibly death as well. Where could they turn? What could they do? They were at their wit's end. They had reached the end of their rope. It seemed there was no way out. I believe this story connects with those times in our lives when things become overwhelming for us. While our specific situations are different from the people of Israel in our text, we know how they felt. We can relate to them because we too have been at our wit's end. We know what it's like to slide down the rope and be dangling just from a few threads at the end of life's rope. What's great about this passage is that it teaches us some important truths this morning. Truths about these experiences and our feelings and what we are to do in those times in life when we are at our wit's end or the end of our rope. Think with me this morning about just some of the lessons that stand out from this text. Here's the first truth that I find in this text. It's something we often forget about, or sometimes we don't even like thinking about in the difficult times in our lives. But here's the truth. Sometimes it is God who has led us to the difficult situation in life. Sometimes it is God who has led us to the difficult, trying time that we are experiencing. Another way to say this is God sometimes leads us to our wit's end, to the end of the rope. As we look at our passage for today in Exodus, we see in verses 1 through 9 that we read that God was the one leading this entire scenario. God had brought about the plagues to begin their release from captivity. God had led the Israelites out of Egypt to the banks of the sea. According to the Bible, God had hardened Pharaoh's heart. We read that at least twice in our text for today, which led to Pharaoh chasing after them after God had released them from captivity. All of this was God's doing. God had led them to this point. They had every reason to feel like they were at their wit's end, because they had followed God. Sometimes in life, God leads us to the places where we don't want to be. And sometimes God puts us in situations and circumstances that we don't want to face. Now, I want to be clear this morning. I don't want you to misinterpret this point. Hear me clearly. I am not saying that God causes bad things to happen to us. I am not saying that God creates financial hardships for us or causes a couple to divorce or afflicts us with disease or injury. That is not what I'm saying from this passage. But what I am saying from this passage, as we read about the experience of Israel, is that God does sometimes lead us to places in our lives that are uncomfortable, that are frightening, that are difficult. The Bible is full of examples of people who experienced this very same thing. Jeremiah was called to preach as a prophet for God, but he was called to preach to people who never listened to him. It was heartbreaking for him. Daniel was called by God to worship God, but then was thrown into a den of lions because of it. His friends were cast into a fiery furnace because they chose to be faithful. Mary, a young teenage girl, was chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, but she faced all kinds of hardships because of that choosing. The truth here is that following God sometimes brings us to places where we feel like we are at our wit's end, where we have reached the end of our rope. Sometimes that happens because we followed God. But that's only part of this story. A second truth that emerges from this text to me is sometimes that often when we reach our wit's end or the end of our rope, if we are honest, sometimes we find ourselves beginning to question God's goodness for us. During those difficult experiences of life, it is sometimes when we're there that we begin to question whether or not God is good to us. As the people of Israel stood in this precarious situation on the banks of the sea with Pharaoh and his army behind them, they did not look to each other and say, "Oh, look, it's okay. Everything will be fine. God has protected us before. God will protect us again." No, that is not what they said. Instead, they became angry. They became bitter. They became resentful. Verses 10 through 12 describe what the people said. They cried out to God. You remember what it said. They said, "Why did you bring us out here to die? Weren't there graves in Egypt? We could have stayed there and died. Why didn't you just leave us alone?" they said. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever prayed that prayer in your life? Often when we are at our wit's end or the end of our rope, our trust in God begins to waver. You remember the experience of Jesus and the disciples when they were out on the raging sea and Jesus is asleep in the boat and the winds become rough and the water is rough and water's coming over the sides of the boat on the Sea of Galilee. The waters are crashing onto them. And what happened? The disciples didn't say, "It'll be okay. Jesus is with us. Jesus will protect us." No, they go and wake him up and they say, "Why are you asleep? Don't you care if we die?" They question God's goodness in the storms of life. When the disciples were at the end of their rope, they did like Israel. They questioned God's goodness for them. I believe this is true in our lives as well. When the storms of life come fast and furious, when we cannot get away from devastating, hopeless news and tragic events, when the sea rages around us, sometimes we become extremely anxious, maybe even angry. We too question God's goodness in our lives, and we think to ourselves, and maybe we even pray, "God, why did you bring me to this place? Why don't you do something about these things that are happening? Why do you make me walk by myself during the difficult moments of life?" The end of our rope, our wit's end, is a place where sometimes we question God's goodness. But you know, even that's not the whole story here. Maybe the greatest truth from this text is that at our wit's end or the end of our rope is also a place. It's also a place where we experience God working for good in our lives. In verses 13 and 14, Moses gave good news to the people of Israel. In those verses, Moses said to them, "In this place and at this time, stand firm. Do not be afraid." Why? for you will see deliverance from God. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Isn't that the same message from the psalmist? In Psalm 46, when the waters roar and the mountains quake, isn't that the same message? The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You need only to be still. Here we see that not only is it God who sometimes leads us to these difficult places, and not only are these difficult places times when we question God's goodness in our lives, but it is also true that God will provide for us and deliver us from these situations. Think of Joseph in the book of Genesis. He was sold into slavery and captivity, taken to a foreign country, thrown into prison for something he didn't do. But God provided. He rose to a position of prominence where he was later reunited with his brothers. And Joseph said to them, you remember, what you did, you meant for harm, but God meant it for good. Jeremiah, when he preached to the people and no one listened, he became angry, he became depressed. But a few days later, an interesting thing happened for Jeremiah. He was going about his daily business and he saw a potter working with some clay. It was a sight he had seen hundreds of times in his life. But in that moment, God used it to open his eyes and remind him of a lesson. He realized in that moment that, like the potter, God was constantly shaping and forming his life. Daniel in the lion's den, what he experienced was not death, but instead, Daniel experienced deliverance. And the same with his friends in the fiery furnace. And Mary, though she faced ridicule and heartbreak in her son's death, she was used by God for the greatest miracle and blessing in the history of the world. Through her, this young teenage girl, salvation came to all of God's children. Jesus, when he was on the cross, abandoned by just about everybody who knew and loved him, later, when he lay dead in a tomb, Jesus was ultimately resurrected. Deliverance. God fighting for us. We need only to be still. It is true in our lives. It has been true time and time and time again in the Bible. When we are at our wits' end, when we have reached the end of our rope, God can and does deliver us from those experiences. Now, it may not happen when we want. It may not happen how we want. But deliverance from life's difficulties will come to us. You may be thinking this morning, everything's going good in my life. Maybe you're thinking, what's really in this sermon for me? Well, the answer is, even if things are great right now, we all know how life works. And there will come a time again where you are at your wit's end and you have reached the end of your rope. Remember this good news. Or maybe you are here this morning and you feel like you are at your wit's end. Maybe you feel like you can't take anymore. Maybe you feel like life's burden has become too heavy, too difficult. If so, hear the good news of this text. God will deliver you. We might not know how. We can't see the way forward, but God knows. That is exactly why when we sing Amazing Grace, we often sing that stanza, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. wherever you are today, have faith. Have hope. God is with you. God is fighting for you. As the writer of Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Or in the words of our anthem for this morning, come unto me, my child, be still, and know that I will give you rest. I am present in your pain, and I always will remain your comforter and your friend. Or in the closing verses of our text for today, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Let us pray. Oh God, the events of our lives are sometimes so difficult and heavy to bear. Life sometimes becomes a lonely, frustrating, difficult journey. And sometimes the news and the events and the unexpected happenings in our world break our hearts and make us feel that there is very little hope. God, thank you for reminding us that you are our refuge, you are our strength, you are with us in all that happens in life. So lead us, guide us, and direct us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.